Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Wednesday, April 30th. It is time to study the Daily Lectionary. Our guest pastor joining us this morning by phone is the Reverend David Kaiser from Mount Calvary Lutheran Church in Watonga, Oklahoma. Good morning, Pastor Kaiser.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
I'm doing well. And you?
Good. Doing well.
Did you all do all right, fare okay in the storms the last few days?
Well, you know what happens in Watonga is that it always develops over our head and doesn't hit us at all. We're a very dry part of the state of Oklahoma. And so we watch the storms develop overhead, and they don't come down until various communities later. That's unfortunate as far as rain is concerned, because we do need the rain. But it's fortunate in the sense we don't get some of the bad weather that has happened to other parts of the United States.
Well, tell us about Mount Calvary Lutheran Church in Watonga, Oklahoma.
Well, it's a farming community in Watonga. Watonga's about 65 miles northwest of Oklahoma City. It's a smaller church, and it's out in the sticks, we sort of say, out here, but it's very warm people, and they're all sons and daughters of German settlers who came to this country at the turn of the century, and that's a little vibrant community we have here.
Well, wonderful. Well, we are studying Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 16 this morning. Any background you'd like to give us on the text before we jump in, Pastor?
Well, this is Luke's version. Now, when I say version, I'm not saying that everybody's off on their own here, but what he's looking at, the calling of the disciples to ministry with Jesus Christ. And so this is Luke's version, and so because Luke is always more a head type of person getting into people's head, we see that very much coming out in this verse, that he brings out the section on Peter, his reaction to coming in contact with Christ in comparison with his own life.
Well, very good. I'd like to invite our listeners to join us today as we're studying Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. If you have questions, you can give us a call or an email. The phone number is 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727. That's 1-800-730-2727. Or you can email us, kfuo@kfuo.org. We'd be glad to take your questions as we dig into Luke chapter 5 this morning. Shall I read a little bit and we'll unpack it?
Sounds good to me.
All right, Luke chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled the boats, both the boats, so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of the fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Now, I know I read quite a bit there, but we'll break it down in section by section here. Mm-hmm. So on one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. What's the scene here, Pastor?
This is part of Christ's early ministry. The crowds, of course, because of his healings and that type of thing, were following him, and they were following very closely. They wanted to be very close to him, but he was trying to teach the crowds, and it's kind of hard to get heard when the stifling effects of body so close to you so that your voice is not heard. So he decided he saw some boats there on a shore, and he got into one of them and asked the fisherman to bring him out a little ways. And what water has a wonderful tendency to do is be an acoustical help there, as far as it reflects it off the water and bounces off the water, and it actually magnifies the voice, and so he could be heard better. Also, it got him away from the crowd so that he could be clearly heard by everyone.
So they're by the lake, mm-hmm. and he saw two boats that, but the fishermen had gone out at them and were washing their nets. They'd given up. They didn't catch anything, so they'd given up. So getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, Jesus asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. So Jesus starts teaching from a boat.
Yeah.
And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let your nets down for a catch. So first Jesus teaches, then they go out and a little bit deeper into the water with their nets.
Mm-hmm. Jesus was reinforcing his ministry, of course, with miracles, and he tells them to go out into the water and get a catch. Again, we're going to be seeing here a miracle. This is definitely a miracle because they didn't catch any fish all night. Night is the time you catch fish, and not during the daytime. And so it's interesting to see Peter's reaction. I mean, you could tell he's a tired fisherman. He's had been a whole night worth of fishing. He wants to go home and go to bed. But the master says to do it, and I could tell Peter has a great affection for this man, because he obeys the man in his authority and does it anyways, even though he's done it all night. And your first reaction would be, well, what does this guy know about fishing? Come on, I'm the fisherman here. But he didn't have that reaction. So already Peter was being worked on by Christ.
That's true. I guess he could have taken that approach. You know, what does this Jesus know about fishing? I'm the one who's the fisherman here.
Mm-hmm.
And so Jesus says, put out into the deep, let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word, I will let down the nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking.
Mm-hmm.
They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink.
That's quite a miracle. I mean, it shows again the kingdom of God and the extravagance of God in the kingdom of God, that God, when he works with us human beings, he doesn't work halfway. He goes all the way.
Mm-hmm.
Everything we see in Jesus, we see the extravagance of the gospel. And this is just another example of that, of this extravagance that God has for his people. Not necessarily a material bounty, of course. Not in this time, not in this framework, but, you know, in the long run, that is what he's got planned for us. But there is still an extravagance of his love shownness, and that's what he has for each one of us.
Is it easy to take this text and moralize it and say, well, you know, if you just do whatever Jesus tells you, then he's going to bless you abundantly?
Yeah, that's very easy to do, but of course, God's more complicated than that. You know, he's got things going on so many levels with each one of us that there's, you know, it's not that simple to just say something like that, because God is watching your character. He knows your character. He knows what you need. Yeah, sometimes some people need abundance to help them out. Here he was showing and contrasting Peter's life of sin with the gospel and the kingdom of God and its abundance. And you know, Peter felt he didn't deserve this because of his low opinion of himself as far as spiritual things are concerned, and rightly so. And so this, again, God works differently with each one of us,
mm-hmm.
in this situation.
We're studying Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 16 this morning with Pastor David Kaiser from Mount Calvary Lutheran Church in Watonga, Oklahoma. If you have questions, give us a call or an email. The number's 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727 or email us at kfuo@kfuo.org. kfuo@kfuo.org with your questions on Luke chapter 5 this morning, verses 1 through 16. So they put in their nets. They get just more fish, so much that the nets are breaking. They pull them up into the boat, and it's too much for the boat, so they ask their friends to come and help, and they fill up two boats, and the boats start to sink, just overwhelming. And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I'll let down the nets." So they do all this, and they have these full boats. They after all that, after the boats begin to sink, then Simon Peter saw it. He fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Peter confesses, I can't even be near you. I'm a sinful man.
Mm-hmm. That's, I think, we have to understand that Peter was a fisherman, and we make a little despairing remarks about people who are waterfront type people and what kind of riffraff they may be or very down-to-earth people they may be. And I think this was the case with probably Peter, that you know, he lived his life and he had to, it was a hard life. It was a good life. Fishermen make good money. They made better money than the farmers out in the fields. But they had to do a lot of things. They had to work at night, not during the day. A lot of things like that caused him to be a rough kind of character. And so he's wondering, why is God doing this to me? Well, definitely, he can't deny this. The boats are, there's no such, he's never experienced this before. And so he knows it's a miracle. And he can't deny that, and so his reaction is a very typical reaction of all of us when we come into contact with God, that I'm not good enough for God. I'm a sinner. I've got so many problems going on, and God doesn't want me. And God, we learn through this particular story that no, that's not the case at all. In fact, he says, well, we didn't get to that part yet, but don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch the men. I mean, not only am I coming to you and saving you, Peter, but I want you to help me save others.
Sure. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. Mm-hmm. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. And what does Jesus mean by, do not be afraid, from now on you will be catching men?
Well, that's an interesting way. I mean, I'm sure the disciples were not evangelical Christians, so they didn't have this in the back of their heads that we have when we read that, catching men. And we immediately know, oh, he's talking about, evangelizing people for the kingdom. They catching men, what would they have understood that as? I'm sure that was something that was some mysterious to them. Why would there be a need to catch men? Are they falling or something? Or, you know, just that would have intrigued the disciples. I mean, he wasn't just talking to Peter, he was talking also to the sons of Zebedee and his brother Andrew as well, who were helping out in a situation, that they definitely knew this was some holy man here. They didn't know he was the Son of God yet, but they knew he was a holy man. And now this holy man is asking them that they're going to go out and catch men. I'm sure their eyebrows were raised. How do you catch men? Do you bait them? Do you put worms on a hook and throw it in front of them? And what does that mean?
Famous question. What does this mean?
Yeah.
Well, we are studying Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 16. If you have a question, you can email or call 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727. The email address kfuo@kfuo.org. Let's go to Lael in Webster Groves. Good morning, Lael.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks. What's your question for us this morning?
Well, you know what? When they pulled up the nets and they had an overflow or abundance of fish, it also brought me to Pentecost when Peter, with the sermon, the Holy Spirit worked through him and all the thousands of people that came to Christ at Pentecost. So it kind of reminded me, yes, Peter, you are going to be a fisher of men and what God does through him.
And when God does something abundantly, he does something abundantly, huh?
Yes.
Well, thanks for your call, Lael. We'll let Pastor respond to that. Thanks.
Again, I think she's very correct. This was also a prophecy of what was to come. And it wasn't just a miracle for the sake of a miracle, but it was a prophecy of what was to come. I'm sure Peter, when he saw all the crowd streaming forward for baptism on that Pentecost, he just was just overwhelmed by it. And he would be thinking again back to this time when he got this abundant draft of fish that it's coming to pass. I'm sure he had shivers going up and down his spine at that particular point when all these people were coming forward for baptism.
Verse 11, and when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. How is it that they were able to follow him?
Well, the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. None of us can do that on our own, of course. It's the Holy Spirit working in and through us. But again, it shows the dramatic discipleship that's going on here, that they were willing to drop everything and follow him. Now, of course, you know, we could take this in a very literal method, thinking that we have to maybe go to a monastery and, you know, get rid of everything and go to the monastery and live and follow him. But he's not saying that. This was what the disciples had to do. We each have to give up everything in our own way, in our own situation. We have to give up what stands in the way and an obstacle for us with God. And, you know, working with my sheep in the field, I noticed there's a lot of distractions in this world. And, you know, their excuses for, you know, once in a while for not coming to church is, you know, well, I got to work and I got to do this and I got to do that. You know, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then all these things shall be added unto you. And part of being a disciple means that we need to follow Christ. Again, not giving up everything, not selling all we have and living in poverty. That, unless God calls us to that, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about us being willing to go to our employer, willing to say to him, look, I need this Sunday off. This is Easter. And I know I'm up on deck for working this Sunday, but, you know, what can be done so that I don't have to work this Sunday, so that I can, you know, in other words, be willing to give up all to follow him. But it's different for each one of us.
Well, coming up in just a little bit, we're going to get into verses 12 through 16, Jesus cleanses a leper. We're studying the daily lectionary, Luke chapter 5, 1 through 16 today with Pastor David Kaiser from Mount Calvary Lutheran Church in Watonga, Oklahoma. If you have questions, give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727. That's 1-800-730-2727. Or you can email us, kfuo@kfuo.org. We'll be back after this break. Stick around for more His Time right after this on Worldwide KFUO.
The latest from the Roman Catholic Church is the news that two former popes who have died are to be declared as saints. Some people are objecting because one of the popes did not deal properly with the homosexual priests. On the next LNG broadcast, we will discuss who the Bible considers a saint and why.
Weekday mornings beginning at 9:30 on KFUO.
Oklahoma Congressman James Lankford is urging Americans to pray for the nation on tomorrow's National Day of Prayer.
The Bible teaches us, and I believe, that God hears our prayer, not because of our good behavior, but because God opened the line of communication when Jesus paid for our sin on the cross, and I accepted his offer of forgiveness and relationship.
While some atheists object to the annual observance of the National Day of Prayer,
they're not required to believe in God because they're an American, and I'm not required to stop believing in God just because I represent Americans. We are both free. You can choose not to pray, and I can choose to pray for you.
In a House speech, Lankford said too many Christians would rather complain than pray.
For everyone who says to me, we're too far gone in debt. Our culture has passed the tipping point. We've lost our way forever. I tell them that I believe there is still a God in heaven who hears our prayer, who cares about our lives. I will work, but I will also pray. And I ask you to join me.
I'm Steve Coleman.
In 1924, we embraced the new technology of that day. Radio. Since that day, we've stayed on the cutting edge of technology. There are many easy ways to listen to Worldwide KFUO. On the air, online, and on demand. We proclaim the gospel of Christ in both word and song. Now that's why you should listen. The where and the how, well, that's up to you. The messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.
Welcome back to His Time. We are studying the Daily Lectionary in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 16 today with Pastor David Kaiser from Mount Calvary Lutheran Church in Watonga, Oklahoma. Pastor Kaiser, any comments on the previous text 1 through 11 before we press on to the next section?
No, that's fine.
All right. And a reminder to our listeners, if you have questions, give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727, KFUO@KFUO.org. All right. The next section, Jesus cleanses a leper, verse 12. While he was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I will. Be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him, and he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as Moses commanded for a proof to them. But now, even more, the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities. But he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. All right. So here we have in verse 12, while he was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. Why? And when Jesus saw him, he fell on his face and begged him, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. What do we know about leprosy?
Well, leprosy at that time, it's different than what we consider leprosy today. It's a different disease. I forgot what the name is, but the back in those days, any skin disease, because of health cleanliness back in those days, was, even though they were Jewish and they believed in washing their hands before the meat and that, still things were not as clean as they are today, and so skin was able to get all kinds of diseases, and they didn't have little salves and all that kind of stuff like we do today for eczema and psoriasis and all those other kind of things, and so it just does a number on their skin over time, and it gets to the point where they start losing limbs and everything like that, and so that's what was basically happening here. So,
What's your status? What's the status of someone with leprosy socially?
They were considered, of course, unclean, mm-hmm. and because they didn't want to catch it, because if they touched the person, they're afraid they might get the disease. And so there's our key input there, mm-hmm. is what Jesus was able to do here, because he touched the person, and instead of getting the disease, he gave the cleanliness to the other person.
Hmm. Yeah,
so that is again, we see God working through this. If I may, one other point that comes to me here, you know, there's no such thing as a coincidence in the Bible or just throwing stuff together. Luke is putting together and weaving the storyline here, and we see a connection here that Peter falls down on his face, on his knees, rather. So we see a falling down before Jesus. And so Luke almost continues the thought when he ties these two together, when he saw Jesus, the leper, fell down on his face and begged him, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." Okay, again, we got here in this leper a lot of self-esteem issues. And, you know, because of having leprosy like this, he thought he was, you know, convinced that he was nothing but scum. And so he says, "If you will." He wasn't doubting Christ. He was saying, you know, if you will look upon this miserable hunk of flesh, could you please make me clean? And again, it's almost the same type of words as Peter uses in a different film. This is talking physically, whereas Peter was talking spiritually. So we see the continuation of the thought here that God is making us all clean through his touch of us.
Verse 13, "And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, 'I will, be clean.' And immediately the leprosy left him." Interesting. There's such a short two-phrase sentence here. Jesus says, "I will." And he says to the man, "Be clean."
Mm-hmm. Again, confirming that God does love his children, and he's willing to be there for us and to do what needs to be done. Again, it has to be done according to God's will in his time frame. But in this particular situation, the time frame was immediate. And he says, "I will be clean."
The phrase "be clean" here, just looking at it, just kind of glossing over it, in the English translation, it looks like an imperative. Go do something and make yourself clean. Mm-hmm. But that's not it at all, is it?
No. No, it of course, it's that you will be clean. You be clean.
You are clean.
Yes.
As Jesus says it, it happens. Whatever God says, he does.
Yes. Yeah, it's again, let there be light, and there was light. Mm-hmm. It's that whole concept of God working his will through his word.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's, we see it again here, like he says, "Lazarus, come out." It's not that he's commanding Lazarus. I mean, and Lazarus can hear him coming out. I mean, he's talking. It's stating in a fact in a way that I will this be done. Behold, it will be done, and let there be light, and there was light, and that's God's word personified in Jesus Christ.
If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
It's Jesus when God speaks, however he speaks. When God speaks, it is.
Yes, right. Yes, and every Sunday in the church, in the Lutheran church, I stand before the people and say, "I forgive you of your sins." And of course, there's some other denominational person in the church. They come forward and say, "How can you dare say that?"
Mm-hmm.
I say, "I can't say that at all. Of course, I can't." But Jesus Christ said that when you forgive others, they are forgiven.
Sure.
Therefore, I can stand before the people and say, "I will be clean."
Mm-hmm. Yeah. With our own old Adam, with our earthly minds, we would ask, "Well, who are you to forgive me? You're just as sinful as I am."
Mm-hmm.
But when Jesus speaks it, when you stand in the stead and by the command of our Lord Jesus, and forgive sins, that it's Jesus proclaiming that good news.
That's right.
That you are forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
Just as Jesus here says to the leper, I will be clean. So immediately the leprosy left him, and he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as Moses commanded for a proof to them. So go to the priests, but don't go tell anybody else.
Yeah, right.
What happens?
The human nature being such, you know, don't say anything, but go do it. You gotta do it. You know, if somebody cleanses you, you're gonna tell every soul that will listen to you what happened. But it's interesting too. We go back to why do we got to go and do an Old Testament offering here? Isn't Christ the, he's done it, so why do these things? Well, the reason is for proof to them.
Mm.
You know, let the priests and the scribes and the Sadducees and the Pharisees hear and see this as you go forward to them to do the things that it requires in the Old Testament law. They will see that Christ can do great miracles. And of course, it's going to flabbergast them. They don't know how to take this.
But now even more, the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities. But he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. So word spread.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is going to happen. Yeah, you know, if somebody started healing today, you know, people would be breaking down the walls even in 21st century America. But this was the beginning of the ministry of Jesus Christ, and it would go forth from here. And I love the way Luke always ends. And he withdrew to desolate places and prayed. That's Luke's theme in the book of Luke. Is prayer, and that's where we need to end up as well, in always withdrawing from our daily lives and spend time with our Lord in prayer. That's the most important thing in our lives, and if we neglect that, we're just neglecting such a great love.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've got one more listener with a question. Let's go to Mike in St. Louis. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, how you doing today?
Great. What's your question this morning, Mike?
Well, I was listening to your conversation, and the pastor said that, you know, he was talking about when Jesus called Lazarus out of the tomb, you
mm-hmm.
know? Well, I heard a preacher said that, he said that, I'm interested in your opinion on this, that he said that had not Jesus, if Jesus would have simply told him to come out and not called Lazarus' name, that all the dead would have rose out of their tombs.
Well, let's go to Pastor. Thanks, Mike.
Okay.
Pastor, your thoughts.
Of course, God's in charge.
Right.
He does nothing by accident or oops. There's not an oops in God's dealing with us. And so I appreciate the colloquialism of the preacher saying that. He was trying to emphasize that God had the power. There is nothing to prevent raising the whole human race at that particular point in time, and that's why he says Lazarus. Good thought, and I know where he was coming from on that, but I don't think God has to worry about doing things haphazardly.
Or that he has loopholes.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, Pastor, any more thoughts on today's text of Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 16 that you'd like to share with us as we wrap up our time together?
I think pretty much spoke as I did, I guess I'm drained right now.
Well, you've helped me understand the text, and certainly I believe for our listeners as well, as we've worked through the text and we see Simon Peter's interaction with Jesus here and the miraculous filling of the nets with the fish, but even more so what happens with Simon Peter, not just the fish, but to see that how Jesus works at him, but at your word, I will let down the nets, he says, and then they receive all the fish, and then Simon Peter says, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord, and Jesus says, do not be afraid. do not be afraid. And then we see as he cleanses the leper, you know, begs, Lord, if you will make me clean. Jesus says, I will be clean. And then go and show yourself to the priest to make and make an offering for your cleansing as Moses commanded for a proof to them. Go show the priests, but don't go tell everybody else. And of course, he goes and tells everybody else. And we see then Jesus withdraws to desolate places to pray. As you said, the theme of Luke, prayer, to go to our Father in prayer, to be as Jesus, to continually be about prayer. Mm-hmm. Well, Pastor, thank you very much for helping us study this text today. We appreciate your time, and we appreciate the enlightenment that you've provided for us as we've studied Luke chapter 5 this morning. Our guest pastor today has been David Kaiser from Mount Calvary Lutheran Church in Watonga, Oklahoma. Pastor Kaiser, blessings to you and all the saints there at Mount Calvary in Watonga, Oklahoma.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Blessings to you, too.
Thank you.
In the ministry.
Thank you very much. Coming up in just a little while, we'll at the 9 o'clock hour, we'll join together for morning prayer. And coming up next, we've got some sacred music for our listeners here to round out the hour and to begin your day with the Word of God and prayer. All part of His time right here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.